can't say how much of a privilege it is to be here today. I've forgotten that I came when you were at the university. So how long ago is that?
A while.
But Dave and I are always so blessed when we come here, because you are quite unique in that you are such a prophetic church, and the worship is always full of life. And it's a privilege to be here, you know. Look, turn to the person next to you and say, do you know it's a privilege to be here? Isn't it? So I'll get straight into it, shall I? So, okay. So, some time ago, I was listening to a sermon, and it was really good. It was really interesting. It was really informative, instructive. And it was great, but the Lord just suddenly spoke to me in the middle of it. So powerfully that I got my notebook out and I wrote down what he said. And he said this, it's got to start with the heart. Yes. God's got to change our hearts from the inside. So we can be instructed, we can read our Bible, we can know what to do. But until God changes our heart, it's just like following some good things. You know, God wants to change our... So I started to think about the heart and how important it is. And there's so much in the Bible about the heart. You're not going to get it all. Otherwise you'd be here till tomorrow, wouldn't you, really? So much about the heart. But I've just picked out a few things that I believe the Lord wants to say today. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would take up this offering and just speak to the people who need to hear this today. Open our hearts, Lord. You've already spoken. I thank you for that. Lord, just I just come against every strategy of the enemy that would make our hearts hard and the soil hard. But Lord, would you bless, would you speak, and would you accomplish things by your spirit this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a famous scripture, isn't it? When Samuel went to pick another king, Saul was, his days were over, really, and Samuel had to go to Jesse's house and pick a new king from the family of Jesse. And he goes to the, you know all this. I'm sure you all know your Bibles here, but you know the story. Where he goes to the family and he says, oh, that looks great. That he looks great, Lord. He looks great. No, no, no. And the Lord says this in 1 Samuel 16. I don't know whether we have the scriptures, but we'll see. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
How often, God doesn't look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. It's so easy to look at the outward, isn't it? I mean, look around here today. Yeah, here's all your brothers and sisters. And even in the church, we can do everything right, say everything right, look right, sound right, impress people. But our hearts are not where they should be. How's your heart this morning? You know, even in church, it's sad, isn't it? You know, in some places, to get on the stage, you've got to be a certain image. I wouldn't make it. Some churches, I'm overweight. You know, it's sad, isn't it? You've got to look right. But the Bible clearly says he's not interested in the outward appearance. He's interested in the heart. You know, and how often we judge by the outward. I can't go off on a tangent because we're of time. But, you know, the Lord looks at the heart. How's our heart today? Forget the outward. How much do we concentrate on the outward? We want to impress. We want to look good. We want people to think well of us. But really, it's our heart that matters. You know, let's go to Psalm 139, at the beginning and the end, verse 1. This is David. David, no wonder he was chosen. What a heart he had. Search me, O God, and know my heart. No, it's wrong. Verse 1 is this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I take such comfort in that. The Lord just gets me. He just, you know what I mean? You know when other people don't get you? The Lord gets you. You know, and all your quirks and funny ways and, you know, what makes you laugh and cry, just gets you. You've examined my heart and know everything about me. And right at the end of that psalm, he says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Praise God. Be open for God to change your heart. Do you know, I was praying fervently quite recently. I was really praying. You know how you occasionally, I'm not saying you do it all the time, but you know, sometimes you're praying fervently. The house was empty. It's the way I like it, because I like being loud. You know, I like to pray out loud. And the house was empty, and I was praying away. And the Lord said, I realized I might not even be praying right. Isn't that funny? I was praying fervently. And I thought, am I praying? And I said, Lord, you know, make it that something I heard myself pray a few years ago, and I wrote it down. I thought, that's good. I was praying it, and I realized I was saying something good. And it was this. And it was, Lord, make your desires my desires.
Yes.
Make your desires my desires. Not the other way. Yes. Make my desires your desires, because that's what often we want. Yes. Lord, this is what I want. Will you do it?
Yeah.
Will you just tick it? Will you just sign off? Because this is what I want. But the Lord, I heard myself pray, make your desires my desires. And I thought, you know, am I praying for the right thing? I said, Lord, will you change my heart? So I'm praying what you desire.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says, doesn't it, give me an undivided heart in Psalm 86 or in Psalm 84, a heart set on pilgrimage. You know what that is? It's set on a journey, a holy journey, if you like, set a heart set on pilgrimage, not to be diverted every 5 minutes. You know, Joyce Meyer refers to blind spots. And you know what a blind spot is? If you're not a driver, you drive along happily. And you look in the mirror, nothing. You look in your side mirrors, nothing. So you carry on. But then as you meant to, you just look over your shoulder and there's a car. There's a car right on your wing. And yet you look in your mirrors and you haven't seen it. It's called the blind spot. It's called a spot where you can't see unless you look.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes there's things in our lives that we can't see.
Yeah.
Things distracting us, things taking us off course. And we need to say, Lord, will you show me where my blind spots are?
Right, yeah.
Because I want my heart to be undivided. I want to show me where my blind spots are. We might be shocked because other people might point things out. We say, not me, I'm not like that. But we have got blind spots. Are we praying for the right things? You know, some people don't see their prayers answered because they're praying for the wrong things, really. And that's God's goodness, isn't it? He doesn't give us just because we pray. He doesn't give us things. He gives us things that when we pray in line with his will and his purposes for our lives. And praise God, he doesn't answer all our prayers.
Yeah.
Where would we be, you know, if he just signed off on everything we wanted?
Yeah.
But, you know, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be removed.
Yeah.
But in one of the Gospels, it says, but when you stand praying, forgive.
Yeah.
In other words, you can be saying to this mountain with your voice as loud as anything, but if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you can't expect the mountains to shift.
No.
The condition of our hearts affect our spiritual progress. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Are we desiring the right things? Look at Solomon. Young Solomon finds himself in this position. A young lad. He's just seen his father, an amazing king. And there he is. He's been given that role. And he said, give me an understanding mind. God said to him, ask for anything. Ask for anything, Solomon. And yet, in his young, he could have asked for all sorts, but in his young heart, he said, Lord, give me an understanding mind that I may discern between good and evil. How we need a discerning mind in these days. Do you ever pray that prayer? Lord, give me a discerning mind, an understanding heart. I remember being asked to pray for someone some years ago, many years ago actually. And so the person asked for prayer, and so the leadership went to the house to offer prayer and counsel. And I was late, I had to go somewhere first. And when I got there, they'd had a lot of discussion. They said, oh, you're just in time, we're just about to pray. And They'd heard the story, and they said, in a nutshell, this is what it is, and we're just going to pray along those lines. So we started praying. And as I say, I was late, so I was just sort of... But something just felt wrong. Something just felt wrong about the whole thing. And after a few minutes, I had to say, I said, I'm awfully sorry, but something just feels wrong about this. And I'm sorry I'm a bit late. I can't, who am I to, you know, you've spent hours with this person. But something's wrong here. And that's all I know. And in the end, the person receiving prayer, who was very well respected in the church, said, well, I'll have to come clean. I haven't told you the real problem. You know, it's something else.
Yes.
And so we prayed for the something else. But I thought to myself, I mean, not that happens to me every 5 minutes, but I remembered that because I thought, Lord, sometimes we need to hear from God. We need even that little thing. It's not right. He doesn't always get the whole story. But that was enough to come into reality in that situation. Praise God. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. That whole story I've just told you was all about that. It was just fake. Praise God. Let's next scripture. Ezekiel 36, which I love, verse 25, 26, 27. Ezekiel says this. Then I will spring clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. Praise God. And I will put my spirit in you, so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. What a wonderful scripture. You know, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, give you a tender, responsive heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you, and I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You know, isn't that what we want? You know, when I was a young person, I quickly realized, and I come to the Lord, give my life to him totally. But I quickly realized my heart wasn't pure and clean, and it needed to be. I couldn't get away from it. I thought, Lord, I want to follow you undivided, but this is an issue. You know, this scripture has been very significant to me at the start of my Christian life. Something had to happen. And I remember I came to a point where I cried out to him, Lord, will you purify my heart, make me clean from the inside, and live. I want to live in that, not just once. I want to live in that purity of life. And I remember getting up from my knees and feeling totally different. My heart was new. I got up from my knees and something had changed. My heart was new. This had happened, what Ezekiel said. I was pure. I was clean. My heart was new. He sprinkled clean water. He'd washed me. And he'd given me, well, hopefully, a tender, responsive heart. But he'd done something. I think lots of Christians struggle with hearts like that, where issues, heart issues like purity, knowledge of being clean and staying clean. They struggle, especially our young people. I mean, the stuff being thrown at young people today is almost unbelievable. And young people are taking their own lives because of it. I mean, it's horrifying. And we had issues when I was younger. There was no internet. There's always been that heart issue. But now, when I read of the struggles, you know, how's your heart today? We need to tell people, part of the gospel now, we need to tell people, do you know what? You can be clean. You can have a new heart. You can have a clean heart. You can walk in purity of life. It's part of the gospel. It's the good news. And people need to be set free from things that absolutely bound them. We sang in the worship this morning. I thought of that. You know, the Lord can give you a pure, clean heart and wash away the stuff that has possibly wrecked your life. I sense that there might be one or two people who are struggling this morning with that issue. Talk to someone. Get prayer. Seek God. Search the scriptures. Don't just live with it. Don't just say, well, this is what happens now. It's a constant battle. No. Say no, Lord. I believe you've got better things for me than this. Like a chain that's dragging me down. Wrecking my relationships. Praise God. Praise God. You're in a church here where they hear God and they pray powerfully and cut you off and respond to the truth of the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's move on because of time. How's your heart this morning? How is it? Turn to the person next to you and say, I can see you, but how's your heart? See what you look like, but how's your heart? Where am I now? I've lost myself. Okay, I'm going to jump. Next scriptures, John 7:37. I love this one. I mean, I suppose I love them all, but you know, I've had to pick out things that really are meaningful to me. John 7:37, and one of our sisters alluded to this morning. John 7:37, 38, 39. On the last day, this is Jesus now, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory. But Jesus cried out, anyone can come and drink.
Yeah.
Rivers, I think this is, just let's sink this in. Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Who wants that? I want that, don't you? Rivers of living water can... Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Yes, you just say, I just say yes. That's what I want. Do you know, are you a drinker? Are you a drinker? Wow. As I said, it was said this morning, but you know, it's funny. We have a friendship group. It's mainly for older people, but it's in the day. We do different things. We have speakers, we have lunches, we have activities, we have that. And I usually bring a little, not an epilogue, but the beginning, whatever you call that. A little prologue, a little word, you know, a little something. And one was coming up, and I said, okay, Lord, what shall I say? And you know, there was just nothing there. Now, you know as well as I do, you could easily just turn the Bible, open the Bible and just give a little 5 minutes. Because if we know our Bibles, we can come up with something. You know what I mean? Anyone could come up with something. I'm being honest, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I wanted living water to come out of my heart, even for a 5-minute word. And this scripture came powerfully to me. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I feel empty. I need to drink. I'm thirsty. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his heart, sometimes it says belly, doesn't it? Or out of his innermost being will flow. I said, Lord, please, I want that. I want living water to give to people, not just something out of my mind or a quick word, you know. Lucky dip. I want living water. Amen. This is a promise. Whoever thirsts will drink, and out of his belly, out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Be filled with the Spirit. Flow from the Spirit. Take every opportunity to drink from him, so people get the overflow of our hearts. That's what they want, the overflow. I love the worship here. I just feel you just allow the Holy Spirit to move and speak and for us to drink. I think I love the worship at City, because you can be in his presence and just drink from him. You know, worship is an opportunity, but also get on your knees at home. Walk, go for a walk and say, Lord, I just want to drink from you because I want to be full. So what comes out of me is an overflow of that. Amen.
Amen.
Just one more. How am I for time? We all right? Just give us a nod on the last point. Okay. Proverbs 4:23 says, I've knocked a few bits off because of time here. It says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That is a huge verse, isn't it? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your heart. You know, we mustn't confuse that with protecting our heart so it's hard. You know, when guard our heart, well, I guard my heart, so it's like a brick wall. No one can touch it, you know. No one can touch it because I'm guarding it. Doesn't mean that.
Yeah, very good.
It doesn't mean it. We talked about our heart being soft, you know, a new heart. But we are to guard it, because it doesn't mean build a wall around it. But the question is, what are we exposing our hearts to? That's what we guard it to. I remember saying to Dave when the internet came out, it shows us how old. I don't know when the internet came out. When was it? 80s? 96? Quite late, although we are 2025. I think 96 was like 2 years ago, you know. But I remember when it came out, I said to Dave, it can either be amazingly good or dangerously bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit of both, really. We must teach our children to guard their hearts. I've said before, guard your heart, guard what you expose yourself to, guard what you let yourself receive. You know, wrong teaching, I mean, from a Christian point of view, the internet, you can get a thousand sermons, well, you can get a million sermons, can't you? Even that's in English. And we must discern what we said earlier, what is right teaching. You know, some people, sadly, just have church at home. You know, I know someone who tunes into America every Sunday afternoon, and they see that as their church, really. And some things are great. I like some things. When we used to have a different television, there was a certain preacher I'd like on a Sunday afternoon. So there's great stuff, but we need to be discern what is right teaching, what isn't. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that it's from God. Or subtle differences, think it sounds right, but is it really right? You know, worship, there's wrong teaching, subtle lies, suggestions, negative influence. I mean, years ago, there was no such thing as an influencer. This is a modern thing, but these influencers are influencing so many people, especially our children. They follow them. We need to say, look, the only one you should follow is the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. Not what somebody says, tells you how to live, tells you what to wear, tells you what to eat, tells you what to believe. And these things, were just the people are just letting into their hearts. I remember just a quick testimony. Many years ago, Dave and I had a particular personal tragedy which left us in complete bits, very fragile indeed. And I remember being at my mum and dad's house and reading a newspaper, which was an incident similar to what we had gone through. And I was absolutely finished. I cried for hours. It was just so awful. It was just brought everything. You know, I was just so fragile. It was like reliving our tragedy again. And the Lord clearly spoke to me at that time. And he said, don't read those things again. Don't just keep away from all that. That is going to, it's like something that puts you in a position where you can go down like a spiral. And we know what those things are. I mean, I'm in a different place now. But we know the things that are going to make us go down. And we've got to protect ourselves from them. Guard our heart. Watch where you go, what you read, what you see, what you expose yourself to, not out of fear, but knowing where you're vulnerable. Only you know where you're vulnerable. I mean, your partner might know a bit. Your family might know a bit. But you know your own heart. You know what makes you go down. And you know what makes you go up. Guard your heart. You know, tiredness, stress. Be aware of the enemy's devices. Double up on your armor where you need it most. The devil wants you to give up, pack in, and lie down. He wants to take you out the game, and he'll use every subtle way. If you remember with Peter, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. It was the faith that the devil was after. Satan's desired to sift you as wheat, whatever that meant. I mean, look at what Peter went through. But you know, Satan's desire to get rid of us, to close us down, to shut us up, to make us give up. That's his strategy. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. What? That your faith doesn't fail. You see, someone said, we think the devil's after our stuff. Oh, I wrecked my car last week. Oh, my house was broken into. Oh, you know, I've got no money in the bank and this is a disaster. Satan's not after our stuff. He's after our faith. And Jesus prayed. I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail, Peter. Don't be unaware of his devices. He's after you to give up. These things can be replaced or resolved or changed, but he's after your faith. Don't go to church next week. They don't like you. You know, oh, she didn't speak to you. They don't want you there, really. Don't bother. You know, sit at home. You're too tired. You've had such a hard week. Have you heard all them? He's after your faith. And in the end, you say, in the name of Jesus, back off, you liar. Yeah. You liar. Yeah. Don't be soft with him. Yeah. I get so cross. You've got to use these terms. Sometimes I say to people, have you ever done that? They say, oh, I don't know how to pray. Learn how to pray and say, in the name of Jesus, back off. Yeah. Come against every strategy of the enemy, against my life, against my family. Not having it. Praise God. Anyway, I've gone off. Guard your heart. Guard your heart against the enemy. I mean it. Perhaps we need to think about that. You know, he's got subtle devices. It says, be not aware of the enemy's devices. Get to know them. Not in a sinister way. But know your vulnerabilities. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. That's it. There's another verse here in Jude. Because it says we've also got to expose our hearts to good things. It's not just about fighting off the bad. It's exposing our hearts to good things like worship. Worship in the Holy Ghost is so healing. It so makes you feel better. It so lifts you up. Inspires you. You know, in Jude it says this, but you, beloved, you dear friends, it says, that's the AV I'm quoting, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Yes. Building up yourselves. How do you build yourself up? Find out ways. Go where you feel built up. Listen to where you feel built up. Do what builds you up. Pray, it says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Oh, praise God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Let him love you. Let him love you. Oh, wow. Isaiah says, say to those of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. What does you good? Ask yourself now, what does you good? Turn to the person next to you and say, what does you good? What lifts you up? What lifts you up? What encourages you? Do you know what I like about Gideon? You know Gideon? Well, mighty man of valor, he was called. You know, he felt totally not, didn't he? But you know what I like about his story? Right at the very end, he hadn't got that self-belief really, had he? I don't think that. I used to have a little alarm like that, make me pray. But Gideon, he was just about to go into battle, and the night before, God said to him, you'll be all right, Gideon, but if you just need that encouragement, what I want you to do is just go down to the enemy's camp. So him and a servant, I think I've got it right, went down to the enemy's camp, and they stood there, and they listened, right? And two of the enemy were having a chat. And one of them said to the other, I had a dream last night. And it was like this, I think it was a loaf of bread ran down the hill and smashed down a tent, something like that. I haven't pre-read this. And the other fella said to him, well, that can only be one thing. Tomorrow, Gideon's going to batter us. That's what the dream meant. God wanted Gideon to hear that, just to encourage him, just to say, you know, do you hear that? I am going to do it, Gideon. You know, it's wonderful when we we can go to places or listen to things or do things because God wants to encourage us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He asked him to go there to hear something.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Jesus.
Yeah. You know, there's a lovely song. I don't think the worship group know it, unfortunately. I should have brought the words when it goes like this. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. Speak what is true. Oh, it's the most wonderful song. It's a song that touches me all the time. You feel like just ripping your chest open and going, here's my heart, Lord. Will you just speak? Will you just speak what's true? Lord, will you just speak what's true? Oh, wow. To have God speak what is true into our hearts. It so lifts us. It let the love of God touch you time and time and time and again and again and again. Let the Lord speak. Lord, here's my heart. Will you speak what's true over me? I'm sick of the lies. You speak now, Lord. And my last point. If I can find it. Oh, I've lost it because I've jiggled this around. Have I said that? Yeah, I've said that. Okay, I haven't. God looks at the heart. But no, man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. You know, if we let that sink in, it will reflect how we pray for others. It lets us see past what we think is obvious. You know, if I was to come and pray for one of you who I don't know, I'd see you. You might tell me the problem, and I'd pray a sufficient prayer. Really. But if God looks at the heart, God knows what prayer you should have prayed. Just to say that, dear Adrienne here, we were at a meeting on Wednesday and just chatting about today. I didn't ask for prayer, but she said, can I pray for you? I said, yeah, all right. Now, what she didn't know was the week before, I cried out to God over some situation that I'm in. Cried out to God desperately to do something. Now, she probably knew about some of my circumstances and would have prayed accordingly, and I'd have been blessed. But God showed her my heart and what I'd prayed, and she came at it. She doesn't mind me saying this. She came at it from a totally different angle. She discerned and listened and prayed, and I was blown away. I was so touched and ministered to. It was just a turning point. So bless you for that. Bless you for that. But what I'm saying is, what I came home, because I've been studying, I thought, Lord, you see my heart. You see the outside, but you see my heart. I was touched. You know, this church is a praying church. When you pray for others, ask them. Ask the Lord. Lord, show me how to pray. Not with my eyes, but with my heart. Lord, let us see past the obvious. Let us discern what you're saying. Let us pray what you're praying. Judge as you judge. Words of knowledge and wisdom break through the outward. They break through the outward. Words of knowledge and wisdom. We're to ask for those. Do you know the Lord this morning? Probably everybody does, but you might think, I don't really know him in my heart, just in my head. Bible says in Psalm 66, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened. The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. But the Bible also says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. It says the heart's deceitfully wicked, and yet he says, I want to give you a new heart. I want to wash away the sin. I want to take the stony heart away. I want to give you a soft, clean heart, and I want to put my spirit in it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God so amazing to us? Yes. You know, you might feel, if people could see in my heart, they wouldn't want to know me. You know, I might be talking to Christians of years here. If you could really see in my heart, you might not want to know me. That's why we hide. Well, God can see into your heart, and he loves you. Jesus says he came to bind up the brokenhearted. You know that song, "Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak good things over me, Lord. Speak comfort and kindness and hope and faith. Speak courage and confidence. Mm-hmm. Speak encouragement and love. Amen. Here's my heart." Yeah. That's a time where you don't keep the walls up. Expose your heart to God. 2 minutes, is that all right? Okay. I just wanted to say one thing that I wasn't going to say. Well, I was and then I wasn't, but I think I should. Yeah. It's just that the Bible says, quickly, it says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's a link there. And I think that God has put a conscience in our hearts that works with the Holy Spirit and works with his voice. Yeah. And we have to learn for all those things to work together. I have a testimony which makes me look awful here, but I feel I should say it. There was, when we were quite newly married, so many, many years ago, somebody had a go at my husband. Have you ever had that before? Someone has a go at your partner. In other words, they really shouted at him, right? And was nasty and horrible. So he comes home to me and he tells me. And I think, how dare that person speak to my husband like that? And so I thought, I'm going to tell him. Right? Now this person lived locally. So off I went. And as I say, it wasn't even in this country. So, you know, it's nobody that you know. So I thought, right, I'm going to tell. And so I was on my way. It took me about 5 minutes to walk there. And every single step, God said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. This is the honest truth. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I was justified, you see. I thought, no one speaks to my husband like that. I'm going to tell him what's wrong. And they're going to just apologize. And I'm going to sort it out. I don't know whether anyone's as worldly as that. You know, you've never done that, have you? But as I say, don't do it, don't do it. Shouting, don't do it. My conscience was saying, don't do it, don't do it. But in my head, I was going to do it. And I get there, and I told them, don't speak to my husband like that. I can't remember what it was now. But it was a disaster. It was a disaster. The person didn't apologize. They didn't back down. They didn't put it right. They just continued to tell me why they were cross with my husband. I came home completely defeated. Completely defeated. But I've never forgotten that incident. Because I crossed the line somehow. I went against the voice of the Lord. I went against my conscience. I went against everything I knew in my heart to be right. And by God's grace, I've had to unlearn that. I've had to unlearn everything that I learned that was wrong, that I found I could do. I'll tell them. And I had to unlearn it. I just feel to say that. The grace of God is bigger. And you can unlearn these things, but you have a heart, and you have the voice of God, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have your conscience. Let's pray. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Lord, here's my heart. Speak what's true, Lord. Mm-hmm. Speak what is true. Oh, Father, speak good things over me, Lord. Jesus. Speak comfort and kindness and hope and faith. Speak courage and confidence. Speak encouragement and love. And Lord, just forgive us for any sin that we've allowed, that we've sinned in our heart against you. Lord, just wash us clean. Sprinkle clean water upon us. Lord, put me back on track if I've strayed. Soften my heart again. Break through the stony heart, Lord. Make me clean and pure. Yeah. Lord, I just pray for those who are struggling with a heart that isn't clean. Lord, I pray that you would set them free and give them everything you've promised. A pure, clean heart. A soft heart. A responsive heart. Lord, a heart that hears your voice. Lord, a heart that works with you, with your whispers. Lord, fill us with living water this morning. Lord, thank you that you say, if we're thirsty, we can drink. Lord, that out of our innermost being, out of our hearts can flow rivers of living water. Oh, Lord, we pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you satisfy our thirst with yourself. Make us people who flow with your living water, Lord. Lord, we pray, give us discerning hearts. Help us to not always look on the outward. Help us to discern what you're saying. Help us not to be distracted by what we see, but to hear you. Especially when we're praying. Lord, keep us from praying for our own desires, for wrong desires, for going off track. Lord, bring us back, Lord, to following that still small voice, the undivided heart. Oh, Father, help us not to be concerned with image, Lord. With the image we project to others of how people see us, Lord, our worries. But make us sincere and secure in who you've made me. Lord, thank you that you value us. Oh, Lord. I was just praying before I came, and I felt the Lord say that there was someone who's made a mistake, perhaps at work. I don't know the detail, but it was just someone feels as if they've made a big mistake. But the Lord sees that. And if that's you, just come and get prayer from some of the leaders here. I wonder if we have a song at the end, do we? I wonder if we have a song. If you need prayer about anything that God has spoken to you about, I know this is a great praying church with wonderful people to pray for you. If you just want to